You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
You can reach up and touch your ears. Father, let me hear what your spirit is saying to me. Father, let me understand what your spirit is saying to me. And Father, let me receive what your spirit is saying to me today. Amen. Amen. So for those who know me, you might guess that I like to read. I like to read a lot. So when they sent me to school, I learned the alphabet, phonics. I learned how to string some letters together to create words. See, Jane, run. Jane can run fast. They should not have done that because I wanted to read everything out loud and loudly. So I read street signs. I read the menu at McDonald's. My favorite reading activity, though, was reading the back of my dad's newspaper. So in the mornings, we would be having breakfast, and he would take out his newspaper to read. And so he would hold it up, and I would read the back. So I'm like 3 or 4, so my vocabulary isn't that extensive. I don't know a whole bunch of words. So every other second, it was, Daddy, what's this word? Daddy, how do you say this? Daddy, explain this. So I was annoying him. So he started to play this game with me. And the game was called, Let's See How Long Kendi Can Be Quiet. And how you played the game was this. For every minute that I could be quiet, I would earn a nickel, right? Except I didn't know what a nickel was. So he had to explain that to me. He told me a nickel could buy me one piece of candy. So I'm like, you're talking my language now. We can play this game. I understand what a nickel is. So he was like, for every minute you can be quiet, I'll give you a nickel. Well, I didn't know what a minute was, so he had to explain that to me too. So he said, that's the clock. The little red hand, when it gets on a 12 and it goes around and it gets to a 12 again, that's a minute. So every time that happens and you're quiet, you earn a nickel. And where I'm from, we don't say nickel. So I changed that for you Americans. We say 5 cents. So you earn 5 cents. And so I said, okay, let's play. I'm ready to play this game. I'm ready to buy some candy. And so he would go back to reading his newspaper and I would watch the clock. And somehow my eyes would drift to the paper and I would see words that I didn't know. So then it was, Daddy, how do you say this? And he's like, Kendi, we're trying to see how long you're going to be quiet. It's only been 15 seconds. So needless to say, I never earned any money, ever. But reading is something that my mom cultivated in me at a very young age. Before I was born, when she was pregnant with me, she would read the Bible to me. My very first book that she bought for me was a Bible. Not like a King James version. It was a kiddie picture Bible. But it was the first book that she bought for me. She did not buy me contemporary literature that other little kids were reading. She bought me like Ben-Hur, A Tale of Two Cities, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Pride and Prejudice. These are the things that she bought for me to read. And also The Man in the Iron Mask. Now, The Man in the Iron Mask intrigued me because the guy in this story who's in the Iron Mask, he didn't know who he was. I was like, how anybody should know who they are should be you. But he did not know his identity. So I found a similar story in the Bible. And how I found the story was a couple of years ago, I was preparing to do my morning devotions. And as I was preparing to do the morning devotions, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you are coming out of Lodabar. The enemy has exiled you to a place where my presence is absent, but I'm taking you out of that place to a place where my presence is. You're coming out of Lodabar. So God has spoke to me. I was excited. I was like, yes, I'm coming out of Lodabar. Yes, where is Lodabar? So I didn't know. I hadn't read this before in the Bible or read it and forgot. So of course, then my Bible study became about finding out about Lodabar so that I could understand this word that God had given me. So Lodabar is only found one place in the Bible, and that's in 2 Samuel. And it's in 2 Samuel chapter 9 that I'm going to read for you. And this is verses 1 through 11. One day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? anyone to whom I can show my kindness, I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake. He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I'm Ziba, replied. The king then asked, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodabar. Ziba told him, at the home of Machir, son of Ammiel. So David sent him and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table. Ziba replied, yes, my lord, the king, I am your servant, and I will do all that you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. So a couple of weeks ago, when Apostle spoke, he talked about what's next. What's next was his question. What's next is that you are coming out of Lodabar. Lodabar was a city in Manasseh. And the word Lodabar means no pasture, no word, and no communication. So Lodabar is a place where there's no pasture, no word, and no communication, which is a pretty bad place to be in, since in God's word in Psalms 23 verse 2, he says that we are to rest in green pastures. Pasture is defined by the dictionary as grass or other vegetation eaten as food by grazing animals. A pasture is where we're fed. The spiritual food we eat is the word of God. So in Lodabar, there's no spiritual pasture. There's no spiritual food. It's desolate. God tells us to rest in the freshness and abundance of his word. So if we're supposed to rest in the freshness and abundance of his word, and in Lodabar, that's not there. That's not where we are supposed to be. So how did Mephibosheth get to Lodabar, a place where there's no green pasture and no spiritual food? So let's go back. When Saul and Jonathan died in battle, I'm sure when the news got back to the palace, you know, their family was, you know, in an uproar and in panic because both the king and the heir to the throne were dead. Now, they knew that Samuel had anointed David as king. And for most of David's life, Saul was trying to kill him. So David's going to be king. I'm related to Saul. Saul was trying to kill you. Oh, we got to go. We got to go. You're going to line all of us up and stone us. We have to leave. So Mephibosheth's nurse picked him up. And as she was running in fear from the palace, she dropped him. And that's how he became crippled. So what got Mephibosheth out of the palace and to Lodabar was fear. Mephibosheth's rightful position was not in Lodabar. His rightful position was where David had restored him to. So in Lodabar, he was out of position. Our rightful position is in God's presence. Ephesians 2:6 says, he has raised us up with Christ and gave us a seat with him in heaven. So he has seated us in heavenly places. Our rightful position is in heavenly places at the king's table. Our rightful position is in God's presence. So if our rightful position is in God's presence, we should be seated at the king's table. But sometimes instead of taking a seat at the king's table, we may take a seat at the table of depression. Or we might take a seat at the table of fear. Or we might take a seat at the table of sickness, but our rightful position is in heavenly places in God's presence at the seat of the king, at the table of the king. So what got Mephibosheth out of place, out of position, and out of communication with God was fear. What took him to Lodabar and kept him in Lodabar was fear. A place where there's no word, no communication, no green pasture. We can't hear God's word when we live in fear, and fear takes us out of position. So how do we get out of fear, out of isolation, out of Lodabar? How did Mephibosheth get out of Lodabar? The reason Mephibosheth was restored was because of David's covenant with Jonathan. David said, I remembered the promise that I made Jonathan. So that's what made him ask, is there anybody in Saul's house that I can show kindness to? Restoration comes only because we are in covenant with God. The new covenant was enacted with Jesus' death, resurrection, and our profession of faith. The terms of this covenant restore us to our rightful position. So Jesus' death, his resurrection, our confession of faith, restores us to our rightful position in God's presence at the king's table. When Mephibosheth first came to David, one of the first things that David said to him was, don't be afraid. Why did he say, don't be afraid? Because even though Mephibosheth was no longer physically in Lodabar, mentally and emotionally, he was still in Lodabar. He was still in fear because, as far as he knows, this guy wants to kill him. So he's like, I was in Lodabar chilling, minding my own business. I don't know what you call me for. You trying to kill me. So David had to deal with that spirit of fear that was on Mephibosheth. So that's why he said, don't be afraid. So before David could restore him to his rightful position at the king's table, he had to get rid of Mephibosheth's fear. And before we can have a seat in our rightful position, we have to get rid of fear. David gave Mephibosheth back everything that belonged to Saul, but Mephibosheth could not receive the possessions until he was in position. So when Mephibosheth was over here in Lodabar, in fear, in isolation, desolation, no word, no pasture, no communication, he could not receive the possession because he was out of position. But when he was back in position, seated at the king's table, is now when he could receive the possession. You can't receive the possession until you're in position. And the right position to be in is in heavenly places. It's always to be in God's presence. It is the only way that you can hear God's voice in his presence. Like if I'm talking and you're outside of this building, you're not in my presence and you can't hear my voice. You have to get in my presence to hear my voice. You get in position by prayer, again, God's presence, by prayer, fasting. Some of us, we take a pass on that sometimes. Fasting, worship, studying the word of God, the Bible, exercising your faith. These signs shall follow those who believe. Walking in obedience. Obedience is better than a sacrifice. And loving your neighbor as yourself. Being a representative of the kingdom here on earth. Being a kingdom ambassador keeps you in God's presence. The word says, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and then and only then everything else will be added unto you. We get in position by seeking God first in his righteousness. So for some of us, fear may not have gotten us to Lodabar. The devil may have used another tactic. Another tactic that he used is guilt, shame, and condemnation. He uses this a lot to get us out of position and in isolation. Now I'm going to use a great American classic to illustrate my point, The Lion King. How many of you have watched, she's watched The Lion King. How many of you have watched The Lion King? Okay, so Mr. Bill and Miss Ophelia, we're going to back it up for y'all who have not watched The Lion King. So The Lion King is about a lion cub. His name is Simba. Simba is the son of Mufasa. Mufasa is the king of Pride Rock. Mufasa has a brother, Scar, who is jealous. Now, even though Mufasa's in his rightful position and God appointed him to, Mufasa thinks that he needs to be there. So Mufasa, he devises a plan to Scar devises a plan to kill Mufasa. He succeeds in his plan. Mufasa dies. And then he convinces Simba that it's his fault. So he tells Simba it's his fault that his dad is dead. He needs to run away. He needs, because nobody's going to believe that it was an accident. And nobody's going to forgive him. So he needs to run away and never come back. And so guilt, shame, and condemnation drives Simba out of Pride Rock and into the jungle. You know the song, "In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight." Cute song, but Simba was out of position. Simba's rightful position was in Pride Rock as king. But he went into the jungle with Timon and Pumba messing around, and he's out of position. So the same way that Scar whispered to Simba is the same way that the enemy whispers to us. He tells us that our sin is too big for God to forgive, and we must run away from God, run away from the church, run away from our covenant relationships. No one is going to understand. Nobody's going to forgive us. You need to go and be by yourself in Lodabar. And there we have it. We're in Lodabar. We're in isolation, and we're living a lie instead of the truth that God intends for our life. Lodabar could also represent a period of dryness in our lives. So you're a veteran Christian. You've been in the game a long time. Satan is not going to get you with fear. He's not going to get you with guilt, shame, and condemnation. He got to come at you with something different. So he's going to use complacency. You're in the same place you were last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The spring that you were drinking from has dried up, but like Moses, you trying to hit the rock because you're on that move of God from 5 years ago, and God is telling you to speak to the rock. But you can't hear God saying speak to the rock because you're in Lodabar. You're out of position. You're out of God's presence, so you can't hear him. And what he's telling you is what's next and what is the next move of God. So you need to get out of complacency, get out of the past, get out of a routine, because this can become a routine when you've been saved a long time. It becomes, church becomes a routine, reading your Bible becomes a routine, and you're not seeking God. How you get out of complacency is by seeking God, by seeking his face. He says, "Seek me and you shall find me." How do you seek him? You just take one step. Every journey begins with one step. And when we take one step towards God, he takes two steps towards us. And he'll meet us past the middle, and we'll be in his presence again and out of Lodabar and out of complacency. So like myself, you may have been saying, "God, I don't know why you're not answering my prayer. You're not listening to me. You don't hear me. You don't talk to me." And it might not be that God is not speaking. It's that we're in Lodabar and we can't hear God when we're in Lodabar because we're out of position. So we might be in a position of fear or a position of doubt or a position of mistrust. And when we're in a position of fear or doubt or mistrust, we can't hear God because fear, doubt, and mistrust always talks loudly. They're always loud, flashy, and in your face. And God is speaking to us in a still small voice. So God may be saying to us, you know, go ahead and start that new business. Take that job. Write that book. Make that investment. Do that new thing. Move to that next level. But you're afraid because, face it, doing something new and getting out of your comfort zone is scary. But faith and fear cannot reside in the same house. They can't. So we have to evict fear. Tell fear, get out of here so that we could get to the place where God has for us to be. Today, God is asking, is there anyone in Saul's house that I can show kindness to? Is there anyone who I need to bring into my presence so that they can hear my voice? Is there anyone that I need to put back in rightful position? There are many of us who are living in Lodabar, But today you are coming out of Lodabar. Today God is taking you out of a place of isolation and desolation where you can't hear his voice and where you can't feel his presence. And he is placing you in your rightful position at his table. He is restoring to you what is rightfully yours. He is giving you back your peace. He is giving you back your joy. He is giving you back your rest. He is giving you back your self-confidence. He is giving you back your abundance. He is taking you out of Lodabar, and he is sitting you in heavenly places with him and restoring to you what is rightfully yours. God is bringing you out of Lodabar, a place of desolation, isolation, and separation from him. He is bringing you out of Lodabar into a place where his presence is abundant. It is a place of rest, a place of green pastures, a place where you can hear his voice, a place where there is no fear, there is no guilt, there is no shame, there is no condemnation, there is no complacency. It is a place of anticipation, restoration, and restitution. He is bringing you out of Lodabar. If you feel like fear, guilt, shame, condemnation, complacency has kept you out of God's presence and prevented you from hearing his voice, I'm going to ask for you to stand. If you feel like you've been in a season of dryness, thank you for standing. As a symbolic gesture of moving out of one place and moving into another place, I'm going to ask you to step out and step to the altar into God's presence. I'm just going to pray and make a declaration over your lives to break off some things from the past that's been holding you back and holding you in place in Lodabar, that's shackled you to Lodabar. Father God, we come before you right now giving you praise and honor and thanks, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the new thing that you're doing in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're restoring to us what is rightfully ours, Lord God. That you're giving us back, Lord God, that the enemy, all the things that the enemy has stole from us, Father God. That I come, Lord God, against the spirit of fear, Father God. Because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I come against guilt, shame, and condemnation, Father God, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, Lord God. We come, Lord God, against a spirit of complacency, Lord God, that's kept us, Lord God, in the same place, in the same position for too long, Lord God. In this season that we're going from glory to glory, we're going to higher heights in you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we will see and behold your glory in this season, Lord God. The things, Lord God, that we've been praying for, Lord God, are coming to pass in this season, Lord God, that you're answering us, Lord God, and you're doing it supernaturally in this season. I just pray a refreshing, Lord God, over your people right now, Lord God, that you would flow over them, Lord God, like a flood, Lord God, that you would rush into their lives, Lord God, and saturate them with your anointing, saturate them with your presence, saturate them, Lord God, with your power, Lord God, so that they may touch people, Lord God, from this place, Lord God, to the four corners of the earth, so that people will know, Lord God, that you're alive, Lord God, and you're still doing great and mighty things in the earth through your people, Lord God. I speak the mind of Christ Jesus, Lord God, over your people right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I close their ears, Lord God, against the voice of the enemy, Lord God, that would lie to them, Lord God, that would tell them that they're not enough, that they're never going to succeed, that they're never going to go anywhere, Lord God. I close his mouth right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. He is under subjection. And he is under our feet. The enemy has been defeated in our lives, Lord God. And we walk in victory. We walk in power. We walk in authority. And we walk in truth, Lord God, to do your will, to do your work, Lord God. I pray for healed hearts right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you're mending every broken piece, Lord God, that you're putting it back together again, Lord God, that you're doing, Lord God, heart surgery right now, Lord God, that, Lord God, that you're giving them new hearts, Lord God, hearts of compassion, Lord God, to feel for your people, Lord God, to do your work, Heavenly Father, Lord God. I anoint feet, Lord God, that, Lord God, wherever their feet tread, Lord God, that they would take that ground for the kingdom, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and decree and declare, thus said the Lord, over their homes, thus said the Lord, over their businesses, thus said the Lord, over their children, Lord God. This is a new day. They have come out of Lodabar.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.